Superbrain is a labour of love. Alas, no podcast can survive on love alone. We don't have a sponsor, so we need your support for Superbrain to stay alive and kicking. You can make a one-off donation by following the Support This Show link in the show or episode description.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, my name is Sabina Brennan and you are listening to Superbrain, the podcast for everyone with a brain. Can you believe it is almost June? I only realised it was May when suddenly the month is almost gone. And so here I am in a mad panic trying to pull together the May episode of Superbrain before the month is out. Over the last few days, I've been mulling over what I might talk about in this episode. I was going to chat about trust since I had a recent experience where trust was broken, not in a personal relationship, thankfully, but with a tradesman. But as that issue is still ongoing, I think I'll save it for another episode. But trust is very interesting from a psychological and a neuroscientific perspective, so I think I will cover it later in the season. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll know that I recently left the suburbs for country life. I am absolutely loving it. But getting the magnificent 8-acre garden under control is a mammoth task, confounded by the fact that we couldn't get our hands on a ride-on mower for love nor money due to shortages created by the pandemic. So by the time we did get one, the grass was very long and weeds had taken hold. Now, my husband was doing his very best in his spare time to mow the extensive lawns, but it has become clear that I will need to mow them also. But I must admit to being a bit afraid of the ride-on, especially as many of the lawns are on a slope and I'm kind of afraid of heights. Now, the slope is not that great, but then when you're sitting on top of the mower, it just sort of seems, well, out of control. I feel out of control. And so I'd been leaving the mowing of the lawns to Dave. Anyway, I decided that I would brave it the other day. Now, I'm not doing any of the steep lawns, but, you know, I said, right, I'm going to give this a go. But even where it wasn't steep, I still sort of panicked when I got to wherever there was a slope. Now, interestingly, Dave, who has been doing it for a few weeks, gave me some tips. And actually, counterintuitively, it actually feels much worse when you go sideways along the slope, if that makes sense. I'm actually gesticulating with my hands, which is rather useless when this is audio only. But you feel like you're going to tip over to the side. So actually going up and down the slope is better, because you actually do have more control. However, when I start to go down the slope, I get this terrible sinking in my stomach, a real anxiety, and a panic sort of takes over. And I even let out a sort of sound. I feel totally out of control, something that I don't like. I'm not one who likes to go on roller coasters, that sort of feeling. And I got that sense and I go down. I really... kind of, what's going on here? And my husband was watching me and he just sort of said to me, you know, you don't have to press your foot on the accelerator when you're going downhill. And he was right. He said, you know, you're totally in control. And it dawned on me that I had given control to the I suppose in a sense I had forgotten that I was the one in control. I was driving the ride on. Yet I had this sense that the ride on, the mower was the one in control, taking me down this slope. Now, it's not that big a slope, but I felt totally out of control. And it was only when I stopped, took my foot very consciously off the accelerator, and then put it at my own pace, gently accelerated, and went down, and then turned, and then accelerated, going back up the hill, and then turned, and took my foot off the accelerator as I went back down the hill. Now, each time I did it, I had to talk myself through it, not aloud, but inside my head. And it took me a few attempts, but I eventually got the hang of it, and I actually overrode my own stress response and began to enjoy it. I still talked myself through it, but I think what happened to me on the mower is a good analogy to what happens many of us in life, that we forget that we can take control. We forget that we can take our foot off the accelerator. We forget the power of self-talk. Regularly feeling stressed, anxious, or panicky, you know, it takes a terrible toll on our bodies and our brains. So it really is important that we do take control and that we do realize that we have way more control than we often realize. So the thing is, the stress response evolved to give us the strength to fight off an assailant or to run as fast as we can to escape from one or some other threat. And we don't need that kind of energy to deal with a thought, especially a thought that we probably don't need to have in the first place. So it is far better to take control of our thinking, to adapt our attitude, and to introduce practical measures to manage stress and our response to it on an ongoing basis. So to take control and to end chronic stress, we need to identify and accept responsibility for the role that we play in making and maintaining it. Keeping a stress journal might help you to see patterns in your thinking and habits that contribute to feeling that stressed, overwhelmed, or to feeling stressed, to feeling overwhelmed, or that your life is out of control. So that little moment on the ride on last night sort of gave me the idea to make this this month's episode about control, about what we can do about control, about, you know, control from a psychological perspective, and about the role that our brain plays in various aspects of control in our life, in our behavior, and also about self-control. Sorry, I forgot to turn off my notifications on my phone. So apologies for that little beep. So if you believe that the events in your life are controlled by outside forces, then you have what's referred by psychologists to as an external locus of control. So locus as in, you know, it occurs outside of you. In contrast, if you believe that you are a master of your own destiny or mistress of your own destiny, you have what's referred to as an internal locus of control. And this is really important, because what you believe about your ability to control important aspects of your life will shape your attitude and your emotional well-being. So have a little think about this. Are you someone who tends to see events as passively happening to you? Do you think that things are determined about by luck, by fate, or by chance? Or are you someone who feels in control of your own destiny? I've said that twice. In control of your own destiny. Playing a very active role? Do you feel that you really play an active role in your successes and in your failures? That's important too. And in shaping your life. People who feel that they play an active role in shaping their lives have a an internal locus of control. And they actually, their lives tend to be happier. They tend to be less stressed and less depressed than people who place control outside of themselves. And anxiety is closely linked to our perception of control. So people who abdicate control to others and to external forces are much more prone to anxiety. So getting to understand where you place that power is important to understanding yourself, and sort of really, I suppose, a first step towards regaining control and a first step towards addressing anxiety if it is an issue in your life, because we definitely do have much more control than we think we do.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Now, brain imaging studies show that when you believe that the source of control lies within yourself, the left hemisphere, the left side of your brain is activated. And when you feel that control lies with others, with outside forces, and is subjected to those external factors, the right hemisphere, the right side of your brain is activated. So with physiological activation of the right hemisphere, you might feel watchful, gloomy, insecure. In contrast, with the left hemisphere activation, you may feel confident in your ability to take on challenges and optimistic about the future. So your perception of what causes the events in your life can drastically influence your emotional state. People who consider events to be determined by luck, fate, or chance are really very much prone to anxiety. So it's really important to train yourself to take control by questioning your assumptions. Switching your perspective and adjusting your attitude can help immensely. Gradually, your confidence in your ability to shape your future and influence your environment and the people around you will grow. In my most recent book, I wrote about what you can do when things are actually outside of your control, as well as other ways that our brain helps us to control our own behavior. So I'm going to just read some extracts, and I hope that you'll find these helpful. Where the source of stress, such as losing a loved one, is unavoidable, accepting their passing rather than railing against their death represents the least stressful approach and is the most beneficial to your health. Globally stressful events like an economic downturn, a pandemic, or a natural disaster are beyond your control, so there is no point in stressing out over them. Fighting or fleeing are not options. Far better to focus on things that you can control, such as how you react to the stressor and what practical steps you can take to adapt and survive. Acceptance, that I've just spoken about, and forgiveness are closely linked. Holding grudges and withholding forgiveness don't offer any positive health benefits, but accepting the fact that the world is not perfect and the reality that people make mistakes will free you of unnecessary stress and negative energy. Let go of any anger and resentment that you're holding on to. No grand gestures are required. You don't have to forgive someone face to face, though you can, of course, if you wish. All you need to do to manage your stress is release the resentful, angry thoughts that stress you and move on. When you have to deal with a stressor that you can't change, remember that you can change yourself. Altering your expectations and attitude can give you back a sense of control. Never lose sight of the big picture. How important is the stressor that you are currently facing in the grand scheme of things? Living through COVID-19 helped many of us to adjust our perspectives. Many things that pre-pandemic we were chronically stressed about became inconsequential. If you feel stress rising, ask yourself as early as possible, how important is this? Will it matter next month, next year? Is it worth getting upset for? If the answer is no, then just let it go and focus your energy elsewhere on something that does matter. Reframing stressors can help. Instead of seeing being stuck in a traffic jam as a stressful waste of time, reframe it as your downtime, time to listen to a podcast, super brain, an audiobook, or find a good radio station. So our brain also helps us to control our behavior in other more subtle ways, often unconscious, but often important ways too. So here's another extract from Beating Brain Fog that is about inhibitory control. At the most fundamental level, we are creatures of habit who impulsively respond to sensory information in our environment. Everywhere you go, your brain is bombarded by incoming sensory information. As you walk along a city street or take public transport, your attention might be caught by an attractive face, an unusual hairstyle, a tattoo, someone's taut abs, a ringing phone, a snippet of conversation, or the smell of cigarettes, cologne, or even body odor. Inhibitory control allows you to override impulsive responses that might be inappropriate in certain contexts. For social survival, it is critical that you keep your impulsive responses, verbal or physical, under control. Your brain is acting to protect you when exerting inhibitory control over your impulses. Voicing your unfiltered thoughts or acting on impulse without reflection can get you into trouble. Telling the waiter that his wig isn't fooling you or anyone else won't go down very well. No matter how soft and welcoming the bosom of the woman sitting next to you looks, you cannot lay your head on top of it to nap on your long train journey. Inhibitory control allows you to manage your behavior, emotions, thinking, and attention. It enables you to resist the endless pull of sounds, sights, smells, and other things that characterize modern life. Inhibition requires effort, and this effort places heavy demands on your brain's processing resources. Inhibition not only helps you to regulate your behavior, it gives you the gift of choice and the means to change your behavior. Inhibition can be harnessed to help you to break old, unhelpful or unhealthy habits and to create new healthy ones. It is something that you can use to help you to eradicate behaviors that cause or contribute to things like brain fog. Interference control is a very specific type of inhibitory control. You can regularly manage to have a conversation while, for example, your kids' cartoons blare on TV and your kids whoop and play and make noise. You can do this because interference control allows you to block out irrelevant things like the TV and attend to relevant things like your spouse's or your partner's conversation and focus on what you choose, the conversation, rather than the TV or your kids playing. Cognitive control is another subset of inhibitory control, and that allows you to curb unwanted thoughts, memories, or images. And this ability is not only helpful for eliminating old habits, but is also useful when managing stress, anxiety, depression, and traumatic experiences. And you can kind of see how that might work. Self-control refers to your ability to control your emotions and your behavior. It's another subset of inhibitory control. It helps you to resist all kinds of temptation that could be detrimental to your health, to your relationships, and even to your reputation. For example, you employ inhibitory control when you resist eating a donut because you want to attain a healthy weight. Your relationships survive when your capacity for inhibitory control helps you to resist cheating on your spouse with the colleague you get on very well with at work. You rely on self-control to behave within socially acceptable norms. Without it, you might actually tell your boss that you find him really boring, or tell your girlfriend that her bum truly does look big in that dress. You also exercise self-control when you persist with a task like a college assignment, seeing it through to the end when you would rather be doing something else, like eating buttery toast and chatting with your flatmates. So that's it. I hope you found that information about control interesting. I find anything about the brain and behavior fascinating. I hope you do too. I have been struggling in some ways inhibiting my own behavior and exercising self-control since I moved here, because I'm constantly drawn to the beautiful grounds around me, trying to get the garden under control, but also enjoying the beauty of the lake around me, and also project managing the renovations on the house. They are super important to me, but also trying to find balance with doing things, my equivalent, I suppose, of college assignments, actually doing my work that will help, is necessary to pay the bills and pay the people helping to restore the house. Anyway, my name is Sabina Brennan. You have been listening to Superbrain, the podcast for everyone with a brain. You can follow me on Instagram at Sabina Brennan, where I am actually updating with the work that I've been doing in the garden and in the house. Also on Twitter at Sabina_Brennan. There's lots of back episodes of Superbrain if you are new to the podcast. Upcoming will be lots of interesting guests. Tune in again next month, and don't forget to subscribe to get the Superbrain podcast direct to your device. Thank you for listening.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.